in chapter 7. And we're going to read Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be likened a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. We want to talk tonight about building upon the rock, part of a series that I had done on the Sermon on the Mount. Amazing messages that we can get out of the book of Matthew and the things that Jesus had said to his disciples and taught many people who followed with him at that time. What we want to talk about is withstanding the storms. And you think about the storms that we've had, a couple of them here recently, a lot of wind and damage, trees fell and lightning, but some of these storms pale in comparison to others, such as Hurricane Katrina. Hurricane Katrina back in 2005, if you remember, damaged so much that they estimated $108 billion worth of damage in that storm. It was one of the deadliest storms ever to hit the Atlantic and the coast. And the coastline was devastated. There was disasters everywhere. And not only was it one of the most destructive, but it was one of the most one that took the most lives, over 1,833 plus lives that they know about were taken in that storm. Hurricane Sandy comes in second around 2012, and Hurricane Sandy was a cyclone that caused great devastation. It was a Category 3 storm, and the damage in that storm was $75 billion. That seems like it's not as much as the 108, but to me that's a huge amount of money. And we know that at least 285 people died in that storm. And then there were other storms. Hurricane Ike back in 2008, $37.5 billion. And such disasters, what they're proving something to us. They prove to us and they reveal much about when people build properly. One thing they learn from these storms and continue to learn is about unscrupulous builders, men who build things not necessarily holding to the code, and even when the code isn't correct. And we learn that these builders that didn't quite have the right scruples, they failed at building these things, and as a result, the buildings fell. And Jesus made a parallel between the storms and the buildings in the text that we just read in Matthew. And as Jesus sought to encourage people to do something, he encouraged all of us through that text to listen to his words and to build what we build based upon his word. And he contrasted the great difference between those who listened and heard and obeyed and built upon the rock and those who heard but refused. And the difference, of course, is one withstood the storms of life and the other fell. And the destruction of it was great, Jesus said. We want to talk about three things today, this evening. First of all, what do the houses in this parable that Jesus gave, or the words of wisdom, what do the houses of the wise and foolish builders, what do they represent? Secondly, the storm. What is that storm that Jesus is talking about? And thirdly and lastly, how we can build so as to be able to withstand the storm. Now, I'm a Boy Scout from years back, and there's times when we've camped and the storms came. And, you know, we would be sleeping in tents, and we would batten those things down and put in extra stakes and extra ropes, and you'd be amazed at those tents flapping around in those high winds, and they look like they're just going to fly away. But if you stake them down right, if you pound that deep into the ground, that tent will hold up. But if you don't, you find yourself laying in it with a tent on top of you. And that's what happened to me. My brother Joe, who was in electronics, had a show at the Summit County Fairground years ago. And there was a huge tent. It's one of those big, giant circus tents. And we were in that tent, and a big storm came through. And we felt pretty safe in this big, big tent. But you know, the men that put that tent up, they didn't pound those stakes in like they were supposed to. And that was brought out later. But what happened was, we were standing in the middle of this tent with lights hanging everywhere, electric wires, and all kinds of electronic equipment, and lo and behold, in a blink of an eye, and I mean a blink of an eye, I think I'm a pretty fast guy, but I'll tell you, this thing was on top of me, and I was laying in the water right next to electric cords that fast. That's how fast destruction can come. And nobody was hurt that day, and we're very thankful for that. But what we want to do then is, let's go ahead and realize that these things happen in life. And so we want to look at the house. The house represents our lives. Each of us is a building. A building, and all of us are building a life. And that's what it's all about. We, with what we do and what we learn and how we execute those things, we are building upon ourselves through the Word of God. And in Jude chapter 1, there's only one chapter, verse 20, we learn that we need to maintain our lives with God. Jude says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in what? The most holy faith." When Jesus is talking about whoever hears these words of mine, we have to be reminded of what Paul said, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. We're being built up by the most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Desiring the good things. And when we do that, our building is going to be strong. Obviously, that means to study God's Word. We know that. But it also means to hear and to listen. In other words, to be doers, as James put it. And when we think about this, we need to be maintaining our life with God. And we need to also be encouraged in building one another up. You know, we must take heed, of course, how we build. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verses 9 through 10, we read about how we are all building these lives upon a foundation. Think about this with me. As we encourage one another to build one another up, Paul even said, just as you are doing. So it's something that's perpetual, we must continue to do. We must be a people who take heed. Take heed how we build. We are all God's fellow workers, Paul said, all of us. And as fellow workers, as brothers and sisters in one body, we have one foundation that was laid. And we now build upon that foundation. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, we know that Christ is the cornerstone. It's built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and Christ Jesus himself is the cornerstone of our structure. So if we're standing on the rock, that Word of God, and we continue to build upon that, we're in good shape. But when we step off of that rock, we're on sandy ground. And Jesus is that cornerstone. He's the only one that has that great ability and that great power to save us and to build us up so that we together are a people who we take heed how we build and we encourage one another all the more so. And we're building upon that foundation. And we make sure that we don't labor in vain. I can imagine how many times that I've seen somebody build something, and especially in that scouting program that I mentioned. And I remember at one point these scouts were building a tower. The thing was 25 feet high. But the one thing that they left out is the support rod that goes from the top to the bottom. It keeps it from folding up and falling over. And you know what happened to that tower? It folded up and fell over. You're talking about nearly 1,000 pounds of lumber in something that big that fell. And very easily could have hurt somebody, but they learned. And so we need to be careful that we don't labor in vain. We don't want to build on something that doesn't come from God. We all know what it says in Psalm 127, I hope, and verse 1. I mean, think in your minds, what does that say? Unless the Lord builds the house. Unless the Lord builds the house, they who build it labor in vain. And so we all need to take heed. We need to realize who the cornerstone is. Realize where the words are coming from. Realize where the power to build is. From the prophets, the apostles, and Christ. And so we take those things and those things alone, and we build upon these things. And what the Lord is telling us when He says, unless those who build it build the house, if the Lord doesn't build the house, they labor in vain. You know, what He's telling us is pretty simple. This means unless it is built according to the pattern. When we talk about the Lord's church, I talked to my postman the other day, and who we regularly talk about the Bible. We regularly talk about our faith. And he said to me, Dave, I got to tell you, and he's been a visitor here. He says, Dave, you know, the Church of Christ is completely different from every other church I've ever been in. And I said, of course. His name is Dave. I said, of course, Dave. You know why? Because it's the only church that builds upon the rock. It's the only church that follows God's precepts. It's the only church on the earth that God one day will receive by the deliverance of the Son. When all things come to an end, that's the only thing that will be delivered up to heaven along with the Word of God. And that's what makes it different. And I'm not speaking out of pride, but it's a fact that people will come and they will see us building and building and building, and they don't understand what we're building upon. Because we're not building upon fun. We're not building upon food. We're not building upon entertainment. We're building upon the Word of God, the cornerstone, the power of God in our lives. And so we don't want to labor in vain. Each of us is building a life. And we need to make sure that we pattern that life after Christ, because if we do pattern that life after Christ, our life one day will face the hatefulness of humanity. You know that? What? Wait a second, Dave, back up. I'm not sure what you just said. But if you follow Jesus, if I follow Jesus and I build my life upon everything that He says, humanity is going to hate me? Listen, in Luke chapter 21, verse 17, Jesus said, because you follow me, they will hate you. In Jesus, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 9, He said, not only will they hate you, but all nations will hate you If you're committed to Jesus, you'll be hated because you are. In Mark 13:13, an easy scripture to remember, it's going to happen. They're going to hate you. But Jesus says, stand firm until the end. If you stand firm until the end, you will be saved. And so we have to build according to the pattern. But there are people out there that will see that pattern and they'll tell you you're doing it all wrong. But stand firm. Hold to that pattern. Love the Word of God. And it will love you back. It'll love you back. And you'll know. In a life that will respond to the many good times because of your faith in Jesus, there'll be much joy and rejoicing because of your faith. The things that the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the gentleness, the kindness, the meekness, the mercy, the temperance, all those things will be yours. If you build upon the rock. And when the downtimes come, when the storms come and they beat upon you, you'll stand. There will be no falling over. You may bend a little through the trials and the difficulties, but you will not fall because you are founded upon the rock. We're all buildings, all of us, and we're all built upon the foundation. Whatever teaching, whatever philosophy, whatever we ascribe to in our way of thinking, it may be a philosophy that's adopted by others, by men, that's going to fail. But if it's a philosophy that's coming from heaven above, like James said this morning in our lesson, the wisdom that comes from above, then it will not fail. But that's all up to you, isn't it? It's up to me. It's up to you. We can't escape the fact that we're all builders, building. The question is whether we're the wise builder or the foolish builder. And the test will be determined, and our strength will be determined when the storms come. And that will certainly come. The storms that Jesus is talking about, they are the storms that threaten our well-being. They threaten our well-being. They may be literal storms, tornadoes, hurricanes, floods, etc. And they may take away things that we own, and they may destroy something, may even kill someone whom we love dearly. But it's how we respond to these tragedies and what that will reveal the quality of our building material. It reveals the quality of our building material, the way in which we respond to despair, the way in which we respond to the trials and the tribulations in life. How is it that James himself said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials? He says that because of the Holy Spirit that is in him. He says that, and he says it with confidence because he's not wavering in everything that he thinks, because he's built himself up upon the Lord and the Word of God. And how we respond to tragedy in our life will reveal the quality of our foundation, the quality of our building. We must explicitly trust the Master's teaching. And it may also involve figurative storms. Illness, the loss of a loved one, financial setbacks, all these things that take away our health, they take away family, they take away possessions. And again, how do we respond? If we're standing upon the rock, if we hear these words that he speaks, and we become wise men and we build upon the rock, when those rains descend and the floods come and the storms, when they beat upon that house that we've built, again, that house will withstand the punishment. We can be emotionally devastated, and we can call upon the name of the Lord and cast all our cares upon Him, because He cares for us, and we know that. We can come to Jesus when we're heavily laden and labored, and He will give us rest. We can take His yoke upon our shoulders and let Him lead us. Let Him help us along the pathway of trouble. And we'll find rest for our souls. You see, because we're able to stand against despair and against life's tragedies and setbacks simply because we're standing upon the rock. And then there's the final storm of life, of course, and that is death itself. And when death comes, there will be a judgment. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 teach us clearly that it's appointed unto all men to die once, and then this judgment will come. That final storm, that one that comes and takes our own lives. We need to think about that. I don't think there's anybody in this room that doesn't know that storm from some other. And that storm can come in a heartbeat. It can come like that tent that fell on me in the blink of an eye. One day you're saying, I'm going to go golfing tomorrow, and the next day you're in the funeral home. Your family's still golfing, but you're not. In Romans chapter 2, in verses 4 through 6, the Apostle Paul talks about the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And that we need to think about that when we think about our building and what we're building upon. God's goodness isn't there without purpose. God's goodness isn't there just simply because He's God and we're not. His goodness is there because He is good, and it leads us to repentance. But He tells us, Paul says, but in accordance with the hardness and your impenitent heart, you treasure up for yourselves wrath in the day of judgment. Now that's that unwise builder, the foolish builder, who isn't building upon the foundation of Christ, the apostles, the prophets, and Jesus Christ Himself. But that's somebody who is building upon selfishness. That's somebody who renders the desires of their hearts above the words of God. That wrath will come in the day of revelation, the righteous judgment of God. And so there is a final storm, but we need to be ready for that storm. Our character, that's the truest test, the test of our building. When we think about the character, you know, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Each one may receive in the body the things according to what he has done, whether good or bad. You know, it doesn't matter, because you're going to be judged whether it's good or whether it's bad. That judgment's going to come. And knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, Paul says, we persuade men. That's what we want to do. Why? Because we have a relationship with Jesus, and we believe the words that Jesus spoke and the words of Paul and Peter and John and James and so on. And we trust those words. We've examined those, and with a pure and undefiled heart, we believe that Jesus walked upon the water. We believe that Jesus rose, brought Lazarus back from the grave. We believe that Jesus Himself died upon that cross for our sins. His blood was poured out, and that He was buried in that tomb. And 3 days later, He arose from the grave, and He is risen. And we believe those things, not only because of the words, but because examining and studying and coming to the realization that everything that's recorded historically here could not have happened had Jesus not arisen from the grave. The disciples would have scattered. There would have been no church. The Romans would have empowered them. The Jews would have taken over. There would not be a church of Christ today. There would not be the Lord's body on the presence. His kingdom would not exist if these things were not true. But nearly 2,000 years later, the kingdom is still here. It will always be here until that final judgment. And then it will be taken on up into heaven in glory. And each person will be given a new body. And those who refused those words were the who, instead of being wise builders, building upon the word and the rock of Christ, those who refused that word, refused to obey, they'll be left behind for damnation. The day is coming. So we persuade men, Paul says. We need to have a good conscience. You know, in the end, the Lord Jesus, He described a kind of a builder or a servant that we want to be. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21, Jesus describes that good, wise builder. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, He said. He also describes the foolish builder. And He calls them in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 26, you wicked, lazy servant. And so we must not forget that according to Ecclesiastes 11:3, when a tree falls, there it shall lie. And so we want to be prepared for that day so that when we fall, we won't just be laying, waiting for destruction. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatever your hands find to do, do with all your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Think about how you want to build today, knowing where you want to be tomorrow. The longer we live, the stronger the storms get in life, and the more storms you face, and that final storm gets closer and closer, and we can't escape that. But you know, as far as I know, most every Christian can sleep at night, even while enduring the storm. Because of what we've learned. You know, in the book of Mark, chapter 4, if you want to look there just for a moment. We're familiar with this. It's an account of the disciples. They decided they needed to go over to the other side. And they go ahead and they get into a boat. And they're ready to row on over there. And when we look at this in Mark chapter 4 and verse 35 and following, we see that they're all in this boat. A great windstorm arises and it begins to beat on the boat. And the boat's beginning to fill up with water. And Jesus is in the back of the boat, in the stern, sleeping on a pillow. He's resting. And as you look at this, the disciples, they awoke Him in verse 38. And they said, Master, do you not care that we are perishing? And He arose and He rebuked the wind and the sea. And He said, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And Jesus said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they, of course, were marveled and they had feared exceedingly, saying, who is it that can even cause the wind and the sea to obey? Jesus, when we're with Him and through Jesus, we can withstand any storm. That lesson was taught to teach us that there's nothing on this earth that He can't overcome. And He can't overcome that on our behalf. The third point is obeying Jesus is the key to withstanding the storms. You know, to hear only is not sufficient. That's the foolish builder, the one who heard but didn't do anything. James wrote that there are kind of people who deceive their own selves. Somebody who is hearing but not doing. And like the unscrupulous contractor, the storm that reveals again that true character. And so we must do what Jesus said. We need to be careful that we don't be a people who has this hidden sin. As the Scripture says, the sin will find you out. And so we can't pretend to build. We can't. You can't pretend to be a faithful child of God. It's something that takes work. Remember the narrow and difficult road that leads to heaven. It's not a narrow, easy road. It takes work. It takes diligence. It takes study. It takes commitment. And it takes love. And it's something that we all must strive for. Moses said, your sin will find you out. And so we need to do what it is that Jesus said. Only doers withstand the storm. Jesus said, whoever hears these words of mine and does them. You see, when the winds, the rains, and the storms and the floods, they come, you'll stand because you were those who do them. The rock, that solid foundation, will be yours. And the doers, of course, they're blessed. James, in chapter 1 and 25, he talks about the doer, that he's blessed with what he does. Whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, he says, and continues in it, he may be not a forgetful hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. This one will be blessed in his deed. And we want to be blessed. We want to be a people who can look and be thankful for everything that God has blessed us with. Sayings of Jesus, they help us to withstand the storm. His saying in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, basically, if we heed his words, our hearts will not be distraught. If we have earthly treasures, if we don't heed his words, they'll all be lost. And what we seek needs to be the kingdom. That's how we build upon that foundation, which is the Lord. Calling upon all to seek first the kingdom of God is what Jesus said. And heeding his words, even in the face of anxieties or troubles, just heed the word. Indeed, Jesus is providing a basis here, a solid foundation for each one of us to continue to build our life. And his sayings provide the basis for a solid foundation in which to build a life. I want to show you a picture real quick here. This picture, Busha Khalifa, if I pronounce that right, it's a building in Dubai. And it's one of the most expensive buildings ever built. This building is 27,017 feet tall. It's more than a half a mile high. It is the tallest. It's twice as tall as the Empire State Building. It is one big building. And the cost was $1.5 billion to build this thing. And it's broken all kinds of records. It's the tallest building. It has the most floors, 164. The elevator is the fastest elevator in the world. It travels at 40 miles an hour. It's a marvel. But you know what? When you look at that building and how it towers over everything else, that building would fall over at the drop of a pin if it did not have a solid foundation. In fact, that foundation exceeded 164 feet deep. And it took 58,000 cubic yards of cement. And it weighs over 120,000 tons. And it took a year just to let all that concrete settle and harden. It has a solid foundation. And that's why that building will likely stand the storm. And we need that too. WW2, a soldier, was quoted as saying, it's easy to die a good death, but it's hard to live a good life. But we can do that. We can do that. We can do that by avoiding being misled by false prophets. We can do that if we stay on the straight and the narrow path that leads to ever life. We can do that if we fulfill the law and the prophets of the Lord. And we can do that if we receive what God, good gifts that God has desired to give His children. If we just receive those things, His Word, the blessings that are found in Christ Jesus, in the church, in the body, that will not be judged, those things, by some inconsistent standard, but by the standard of Christ Himself. And where the necessities, we receive those good gifts and will not be judged in the material sense, where your treasure is. It's got to be some place where it doesn't rust, right? Jesus taught that. Where your treasure is, there also your heart will be. And with acts of righteousness that are well-pleasing to God, and with righteousness that surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, if we want to be, as Jesus said, the children of God, then our foundation has to be so strong, built upon such a power of His Word, that it surpasses the scribes and the Pharisees. And those are things that we have to do. Basically, yes, it is a life that can truly withstand a storm. Whether it be the literal or the figurative storm of every life, the storm of the day or the wrath and the judgment that is yet to come, that's what we want to prepare for. What kind of foundation are you building upon? What kind of life are you building? Heed, of course, what Jesus is saying in your life and build it upon that solid ground, which is His Word. And don't be listeners only, but be doers. And your life will be like that skyscraper. It'll be built upon that foundation and it will not fall. But if we are listeners only, and our life will be as that shaky building that was built upon the sand, and it did fall. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul said, "No other foundation can anyone lay but that which is Christ Jesus, the one that has been laid." Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, we've been told that we need to build upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and Christ Jesus Himself being the chief cornerstone. If you have been here and we hear the Word of God, we know what we must do. We must hear, we must believe, we must repent of our sins, we must confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and be baptized into Christ as He, through that process, puts us through faith and grace into the body of Christ to become a member of His church upon this earth. If you haven't done those things, then we certainly do encourage you this day to come and make your present yourself to the Lord. We know we're all sinners, and it's simply being saved by the blood of Christ that we must obey Him and do those things that He's commanded. And if we are here and we've fallen short of the glory of God, we know that we can make that right by confessing our sin, by requesting that prayers be made on our behalf, and the Lord God Himself will restore us to faith and that proper relationship with Him. I hope the lesson's helped. I hope you'll think about that sturdy foundation in Christ. If you do have a need this night, I invite you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.